Welcome to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs, marketers, and founders to accelerate growth and thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 225.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, this episode is brought to you by ShopPad, one of the most respected Shopify partners building apps and solutions for over 400,000 merchants around the world. And their flagship product is called Mesa. Now, Mesa is an automation platform and the easiest way to integrate any e-commerce app with your online store. And it's the only automation platform designed exclusively for Shopify and Shopify Plus powered brands. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks, freeing up valuable time to focus on scaling your business operations. Now, they have a no-code workflow builder that allows anyone to create automation through a simple point-and-click interface. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, if workflow automation is new to you, don't worry. Mesa also has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa for free at absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GETMESA.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to Season 5 of the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Mark, who's the co-founder of a company called Most, and they're at most.io, M-O-A-S-T.io. And the Most platform, what they do is they help brands to get their products in front of their customers wherever their customers are shopping from. I know it sounds a little ambiguous. It's a little bit kind of cryptic. It's a very, very unique solution that you probably likely have never heard of. It's amazing technology and what they're able to facilitate the brand and getting it to the end consumer and how people can discover and enjoy some products that they may not know about or they would like to try in person. It's very unique. One thing I'd like to say too is make sure you listen through to the end of the show. If you find that this might be something of interest for your brand, there's an exclusive kind of listener-only bonus available that you'd be able to kick the tires and actually take this platform for a spin and see how it may work for your brand. So hi, Mark. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Love the show and love what you're doing for e-commerce store owners. I think it's great.
Absolutely. And thank you for being flexible. I know we've been bouncing our calendars a bit like that. I know you're on an Airbnb at the moment right now, but you know what? My thought is that wherever there's talent and wherever there's some great products and people are solving some great problems for brands or brands looking for like the next thing, the next new marketing strategy, the next new tactic, that's why I like to have them on as soon as I can, no matter where they are. So I just appreciate your flexibility to make this all work today.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad we were able to get this done and record this.
So let's talk on a high level because I can guarantee you that 99.9% of the people listening today, because I know you're newish in the Shopify ecosystem with your app just being released, but just on a high level, what does Most do? Why did you build this solution? And let's talk about just maybe on a high level first because I want to unpack it a bit, but just the high level problems that it's solving for Shopify brands.
Yeah, let's start by repeating that tagline that you started in the beginning with. I think that's a great place to start. So Most allows brands to get their products in front of their customers wherever their customers are shopping from. So Okay. What does that mean? That's a very broad statement. I mean, that's the tagline we like to lead off with, because there's a lot to unpack here, but right. That just kind of piques your attention. Mm-hmm. How that works exactly, or how we accomplish that, is we tell brands, hey, look, why don't you tap into your network of existing happy customers and work with them to host product meetups with your prospective customers in areas where you don't currently have, let's say, a retail store or local distribution. So we're saying you have a base of customers and they could be valuable with you. Most brands know they have this customer base, but don't really kind of tap in with them or work with them in any way. So that's the broad concept of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Right. It's so interesting and unique. When I had the demo and you showed me, and I know we're probably going to talk about this in a few minutes, but it's so interesting where with your technology, you're able to look at the history of the orders of a certain brand and going, interesting. We have people in certain areas that might be interested in wanting to help maybe either demo the product on behalf of the brand in their market because they're passionate behind the product. And it's so interesting how you're facilitating the option for a site visitor to actually say, yeah, you know, this bike or this kind of product is not available in my market, but instead of ordering it and not sharing if it's right for me, having to return it, and there's a lot of friction there versus, hey, you could actually meet up in person with someone who actually owns that product and has become almost like a semi-brand ambassador. And you facilitate this from the website, booking an appointment, you know who the person is, you make the arrangements for how the people are going to meet up, show the product, and then a small incentivized kind of process with the person showing the product. Like, it's such an interesting business model that I've never heard of. That's why I got to talk about this on the show.
We couldn't agree more.
You know what I want to do now? I want to talk about the origin story, because you know what? What I find interesting about people that build SaaS solutions is that a lot of times it's not just MRR, it's not just monthly recurring revenue. I want to run a business. I mean, yes, that's part of it. Fair enough. You run a business to make money. But I also think there's a larger story about how all the pieces come together. Just like, where did the desire or the expertise come from to even think about making this platform and then getting everybody together and actually building it and now getting it out into the wild now in the Shopify ecosystem?
Yeah, the origin story is pretty interesting, and it kind of ties everything together of how we came up with this and started working on this problem. But essentially, my partner and I, my co-founder and I, we run a small kind of boutique digital marketing agency. So we work with a lot of e-commerce brands already. We run all their ad campaigns and help them with their marketing strategy. And there was this one brand in particular. He sold a high ticket item, you know, expensive product, e-bikes actually online. And he only had a single showroom in Montreal in Canada. When we're launching his ad campaigns, we constantly get comments on the ad saying, hey, I'm in Calgary. Is there a place I could see the bike here before I buy it online? Or I'm in Vancouver. Is there a place I could see the bike before I buy it online? And we noticed that to kind of be a recurring pattern, and that there's a little bit of friction, right? You're expected to kind of shop online and spend $2,000 to $4,000 on an e-bike without ever having seen it in person before. And for a lot of people, that's not such an easy thing to just go through with and just hope that everything works out. So we said, okay, there's definitely some friction here. There's a problem here. How can we kind of address this solution? Well, right now, if we work with the client and we advise them to open retail channels, to get some retail distribution, I mean, we all know that's very expensive and very time consuming. And for, you know, a one or two man show, it's not feasible at all. You can't expect all these new e-commerce direct to consumer brands to just be everywhere for everyone. And then doing some more digging and research, we say, hey, wait a minute, there's customers in Calgary and there's customers in Vancouver. What if we kind of worked with them to host product meetups and have them demo the product or show the product to people in their area, people in their communities, in their neighborhoods, and give that sort of product experience and reassurance that you could touch and feel the product in person before you then go home and buy it online. That's where this all kind of stemmed from. And it's made a lot of sense since we continue to work and dig into that problem.
What's interesting is you do have product market fit now too. I mean, having the Shopify app, and now there's a lot of gaining interest that's happening right now, I believe, in the market. And, you know, we can see that there's a lot of people are at least testing out the solution and saying, how can this work for me, and not having retail presence in certain markets? But because I think about some of the expenses that go along with returns, especially larger ticket items where people, yeah, maybe they will pull the trigger and they feel fairly confident based on social proof and some reviews and things on a website. But there's also a lot of costs associated too. And like, what if they're not happy and then having to return things? Because a lot of times, you know, you have to pay for the return. That's kind of, a lot of people look up the return policy on a website first before they even make a purchase, knowing that, hey, if I'm not happy, like Amazon, you can literally print a label off and blast it back and no harm, no foul, get your full refund. That can be expensive for a retailer that doesn't have a physical presence. I think that's exactly one of the advantages you have. It's like, hey, you get to actually go and see that product, not just expensive e-bikes, but lots of different types of products. So just maybe you can maybe touch a little bit on both. Just, I'm going to call this social retail. I'm not sure if that's the right word or not, but it just seems interesting to me. Maybe you can just unpack that a little bit more about just maybe reducing return rates. Is there anything else on your mind around this social retail?
Right. So we're calling it social retail, social commerce. I think between you and I, we're leaning a little bit more towards social commerce. It's more kind of all-encompassing. But yeah, I think you nailed it with the benefits. I mean, the benefits are very clear. One, reduce your rates of returns as a brand owner. I mean, just by giving your customer the ability to see the product first before buying it online, there's less of that surprise element, you know, size, weight, width, dimensions, all that. You've had a chance to see the product before. That's huge to reduce your rate of returns. Number two, just like I was saying in the example with this e-bike retailer, I mean, getting retail distribution is hard and it's complicated and it's time consuming. So allowing to integrate Most to complement your online strategy takes off that pressure of retail that a lot of brands have. And three, and I think a very, very important one, is you're basically saying, I'm letting my customers do the talking here. You know, I am so confident in the product that I sell, rather than looking at reviews online, I'm being an open book and I'm saying, here's my customers, meet up with them. They'll tell you all about the product. They'll sell it to you in a way that's not a traditional seller in store, you know, like something that's working off commission or something like that. They're just going to sell it to you because they use the product and they're happy with it. So all those things together could really be game changer for an e-commerce brand.
So let's talk about like how the platform actually works. I'm going to get under the hood a little bit here because I think it's interesting where if someone's going to be showing the product, like whatever that product is, and they are kind of just passionate around the brand and they want to get involved with the brand, I'm assuming the brand through the app can reach out to potential people, their owners of the product, and saying, hey, just so you know, we have this new kind of program. What are you thinking? So I'm just curious on how does a brand make a decision that maybe someone might be interested in wanting to show the product to other prospective customers in their market? And then how do you manage the compensation? I mean, it's fine to be passionate around it and put their time into it, but what's the incentive on the person showing the product to a new prospect?
Okay, this is great. The platform we're super excited about. I think it all came together very nicely and very efficiently for a brand that wants to onboard Most. So essentially what we do is we give all the tools necessary to make this social commerce program work efficiently, smoothly, and automated for the brands that are using it. So basically what we do is once you onboard your account, you say first step as a brand owner is to notify your customers and say, hey, we have this new social retail program, host program, whatever you want to call it. And we're allowing you as a customer of ours to participate as a host. And how it works as a host is you get listed on a map on our website. Everything is completely white labeled on the website. You get listed on a map. And now our prospective customers could type in their zip code, their postal code, and see which customers are in their neighborhood and just send you a message very easily and meet up with you. Hosts are, or happy customers are, passionate about the products they own. I mean, naturally, products that we purchase are an extension of who we are as individuals, right? They represent ourselves, our personalities and stuff. So there is that tendency to want to show things off already and speak about products that you own. I mean, that's word of mouth marketing. The other incentive that's there to become a host is a monetary compensation. Now that we leave up to the brand, however you want to compensate your host, you could sort that out in the settings of your dashboard. It could be a flat rate. It could be a percentage of sales, but that's flexible and customizable and it's up to you. So once you have your network of hosts signed up, so your customers turn into hosts or signed up, they're listed on a map. On our dashboard, you could easily just embed that map. We're not currently integrated with Shopify. That Shopify app is coming. But right now, it's just an easy iframe link. Copy it. You paste it on your website on a, you know, try a product page. And you could start directing traffic to it and say, hey, this is our network of hosts. And you can start meeting up with them in your area and seeing the products. And then everything is magically tracked within the dashboard. So you could see every time a message is sent to a host, you could see every time a meetup happens, you could see the meetups get rated and there's reviews of the meetups and the ratings and the comments that your customers and your host had about the meetups back and forth. So it's this kind of magical ecosystem that then happens within the Most dashboard.
What's interesting, I'm going to give some love to one of the brands here, but this Merkava, which is the eBay company, so it's at Merkava, MERKAVA.ca. What's interesting about them, and that's where I'm on right now, is you go to their website. I'll put this link in the show notes so you actually can see the whole customer experience. But so it's interesting, there's a link that says try a bike. And then so I click that link and then it says find a host. So I'm tricking out, and it's hard sometimes in a podcast to walk it through here. Then I put my postal code in because I'm also in Canada. And so it gives me a dot on the screen of where I am. I zoomed out a bit and noticed that there's two people literally within 10 to 15 minutes from me to the east and to the west of where I live. I found one person by the name of John. He has an acronym of like Falcon 8K. And there's a link here that says schedule a meetup and ask for name, address, email. And says, I would like to see your Falcon 8K, I guess, is the bike that this...
That's the name of the bike. Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly.
So I'm able to do that and schedule a meetup. And it sounds like there's some kind of an arrangement now through email with this host who has this bike as a brand ambassador, I guess, so to speak, for this Merkava brand. And then I guess through the Most platform, we're allowing this facilitation to happen. And then the incentive is with this John person who owns the Falcon 8K, is it possible that they may have a second bike there that they may want to just like sell to them directly on behalf of a distributor? Or is it just they're there just to demo it and saying, hey, when you're ready, here's a link or here's a coupon code or here's whatever you need to kind of, now that you love it, or if you do love it, great. Here's kind of the next step. So maybe just walk us through that.
Yeah. So you described the exact experience that we've captured from a customer perspective. So once you go on that map, you find who's around you, you send them a message. John, the host, is going to get an email notification saying, hey, Steve, in your community, would love to schedule a meetup with you and see your Falcon 8K. You know, we have so many features that we're going to be rolling out in the background. I mean, date pickers, schedule pickers, right? So John could even just set his own calendar availability beforehand. So instead of having that back and forth messaging, you could just go on, pick a date on the calendar and just book an appointment directly. That's going to streamline the process. For now, you and John are going to just agree on a date to come by. John is going to share the bike with you. He's going to, show it to you. You're going to get a great product experience. You're going to get home. You're going to get prompted after that meetup takes place to rate the meetup. How did it go? How was John as a host? John is also going to rate you as a customer and give a rating to the meetup itself. Once both the customer and the host submit their ratings, well, a notification happens in the Most dashboard that says, hey, this meetup took place. There's a referral code that's triggered. So if you go online and you purchase the e-bike, the referral code is applied at checkout. And that's how we could validate the purchase. And now John, as a host, is going to get compensated first time.
I see. That's actually a really decent workflow. I could even imagine like over time as a host could, and maybe I'm forward thinking here, but I'm just kind of the entrepreneurial hat on, but just, if he's really into this Falcon 8 and the other products, and over time, it could become even a wholesale opportunity, even though, supply chain is interesting. It's hard to have traditional retail in every market, but what a way of opening up some doors, being a host, showing off products to others that are interested. And people have, especially e-bikes, but lots of other industries, they're very passionate about what it is that they have. And it could be camera equipment. It could be, there's a million different things that it could be. And so knowing all that, it's like, it's so interesting that, over time they might think, hey, maybe there's a side hustle opportunity here available where maybe I'll reach out to the brand and saying, hey, can I buy in wholesale? I want to be a host still, but is there any way of maybe being a reseller potentially? So they show up and drive around on this Falcon 8K and they decide, hey, I want to take it. And they can just buy it on the spot. Like, that's so interesting to me.
Steve, I love the way you're thinking because you and I are on the same page. That's on our whiteboard that we have internally. It's exactly that. It's saying honor your dashboard. There's going to be a whole analytics element to it too, right? And all of a sudden you're going to be able to see all kinds of important information about which hosts are scheduling the most meetups, which hosts are closing the most sale, which areas you have the most hosts geographically, and maybe which areas where you're lacking hosts. And if we could tell you, if Most could tell you through analytics and through, AI that, hey, there's some holes in your distribution system, you're missing some hosts in Calgary. So maybe you're going to target your Facebook ad budgets to that region. So there's that analytics element to it. And like you described, I mean, the biggest thing is as those power users, those power hosts, the ones that are selling the most products, you're going to say, hey, John, you're so good at this. You're such a great brand ambassador. You love our product. You're so passionate about selling it. Why don't I send you 4 or 5 bikes that you could keep in your garage? And next time you host a customer meetup, rather than sending them home to purchase online, why don't you just check him out right on the spot?
And it sounds like there could be a good connection for that host connected to most platform or not, but just having Shopify POS kind of on your mobile device, taking the person's credit card or whatever method of payment, Shop Pay, directly on their mobile device and send them a receipt through email and out the door they go. And it sounds like a great opportunity.
We're going to drop a couple of buzzwords for you here, Steve, but I think they're very important. I mean, this is, first of all, a beautiful offline to online strategy, right? Or online to offline strategy. We're combining both those worlds. This is omnichannel. This is part of your omnichannel strategy as a brand, right? This is an additional touch point that you have for a product. It's part of that channel. And this is what social commerce is. I mean, social commerce is exactly what it sounds. It's being social with your product, with your distribution, with your selling, and tapping into that side of things. So I think that that is going to be an important cornerstone of marketing. And I think we're going to touch on that, of marketing and e-commerce store growth this year and the near future as well.
So let's talk about a story. I know I've definitely brought up this one brand. I just thought Merkava, I think it's even on your website and they're giving a good testimonial and whatnot. I'm glad I went there just to see the whole flow. Hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it'd be great to maybe, since they're on your website, you probably know about, you know, they're an early adopter, maybe some of the successes and things that they've learned along the way. I would just love to understand kind of where were they kind of pre-most and then implemented it. You know, I'm typing in my postal code. I'm just like, there's a ridiculous amounts of hosts available. So something's working. So I just would love to hear that story. I'm trying to inspire those listening today to saying, hey, you know what? Someone decided to be an early adopter, try something out just to see what it could do, because the data doesn't lie. There are people that are buying your product in your market or in your extended markets. It's a matter of identifying them, onboarding them as a host and moving on. So hopefully I don't want to take away your thunder here, but would love to hear the story behind them.
Yes, absolutely. So Merkava was and is our customer on the side. So we had this unique opportunity to kind of, while we're working with the client, implement and pilot this system, right? That we came up with and said, let's just pilot it first before we build any software and just see how it works, see what kind of response we get. And what we found was our first step again was to onboard customers as hosts. So we emailed all the customers and we said, this is a new program that we're launching. If you want to sign up here and you'll become a host and you'll be able to monetize the product that you own. Right away off the bat, we got 30% of customers to sign up to become hosts.
Wow.
The number in our head that we were expecting was maybe 10, 15%.
Maybe.
30% of customers. Right. Yeah. It was big. And I mean, that's a testament to the brand itself, but also to where we're going as an economy. The extension of the gig economy now is to monetize what you own, right? I mean, you have Uber, you monetize your car, you have Airbnb, you monetize your home. Well, look, why not monetize the products that you own? It's just the natural next step. So onboarding hosts was a big success. Well, I won't call it a big success, but it was a positive indicator early on. The next step we did was to build out the other elements of the program, implement the map and add all these hosts to the map and allow these meetups to happen. And once we did that, we let all our ad campaigns and our social media channels know, hey, you can now book these appointments with these hosts. And right off the bat, we saw an influx of meetup requests come in right away on the map, the potential customers that want to meet up with these hosts. And ever since then, we're seeing 8 to 10 meetup requests per month. I think that's a pretty good number for, you know, a relatively small to medium-sized business, right? So that was another sign of success, at least to us internally. And then finally, we saw about half a dozen full cycle conversions go through on this. So that means customer comes in, goes on the try a bike page, books a meetup with the host, meets up with the host, sees the product in person, likes the product, goes back home, purchases the bike. That's what we call the full cycle. And we saw that validation there too. So once we started piloting this and playing with this, we said, okay, this program works. Let's make it accessible for everyone. And that's what led us to building and launching most today.
Cool. We talked about e-bikes. Now, let's talk about what other verticals of products that you believe, because I don't think it's a good fit for everything in D2C. So I'm just curious, and maybe it's a little bit anecdotally, or if you have hard data to saying, hey, we're finding success outside of the e-bike world in these other verticals. I'm just curious on kind of what you've seen so far.
I think that the best product categories that work well for a program like most are big ticket items, items with high differentiation between one another. So that could be anything from barbecues. There's a lot of barbecue brands out there, furniture brands, indoor, outdoor. I mean, outdoor furniture is great because, you know, you have it in your backyard. You could just easily allow someone to come check it out. Sports equipment, anything that fits kind of those big ticket item prices, and that there's a little bit of friction when you're buying it online because you want a little bit more of that touch and feel product experience. Now, we do have some plans and there are features that we're going to be rolling out that are going to allow us to expand the concept of social commerce to smaller ticket items as well, let's say, to expand our product categories and what that looks like. And, you know, I don't want to get into it too much yet because that's a little bit more down the road, but just allowing that customer base, instead of the meetups just being in person, there could be virtual meetups or even online back and forth to help kind of answer questions or just remove, again, that friction or barriers to purchase online. And just because that will be kind of a virtual meetup, it doesn't have to be such a big ticket item because it could happen a lot faster. So instead of checking reviews or waiting for the online chat to respond, it'll just connect you with an existing customer and you'll be able to kind of chat with that customer and get feedback on what you're trying to buy. But that's more down the road.
Yeah, I've had some good interviews with some people in the live selling space, and there's quite a few different kind of tools and solutions and things, different apps that you can connect maybe on the PDP page and can talk to a live agent and maybe on video. And there's some platforms. You think of what's happening in China right now with live selling, it's out of control. You know, I was kind of looked at China a bit too and saying, well, whatever's going on there is likely, you know, we're 4 or 5 years behind that kind of adoption. But I can see the live selling part of it, maybe on the smaller side, but there's nothing, you know, beats traditional retail and kind of in person. I mean, big as e-commerce is, height of the pandemic was 25% of total GMV. You know, it's kind of normalized itself down to about 20%. So there's still this traditional retail opportunity, hence why Shopify is kind of all in on their go-to-market strategy for retail and the POS system and all that process around all of that. So I can see why most is really interesting, because people do want the touch and feel in-person kind of opportunity. If they can't because there's no distributor, then this is one way around it. So it's good to know these verticals. I wrote them all down here because you're right. There's opportunity in larger ticket, unique products, I think. So it's pretty cool.
And let me kind of just expand on that a little bit, Steve. What happens is the cost of starting an e-commerce or online store, direct-to-consumer brand, have come down dramatically, right? Shopify has been a big, big player in helping bring those costs down. But the cost of getting retail distribution has stayed the same. So what happens is you had this big influx of online stores that pop up and a lot of amazing brands, a lot of amazing products that are being sold, but the accessibility to getting that retail distribution is not changed. And the way we see that is having led to this sort of gap between retail and online. And Most is there to bridge that gap. It's that happy medium, that accessible medium to bring you that in-person touch and feel experience with product mixed with that online direct-to-consumer strategy that people love.
Love it, love it, love it. So let's talk about the future for the Most product. I mean, it's newish, iframe currently, app, just like depends when this podcast is being released, but definitely in works and being released like very soon. But it'd be nice to understand kind of, where do you think 22 is going to land for Most? Like, yeah, do you have a North Star or partner alignment? Just like to get warm and fuzzy about how you're going to continue to iterate on this platform and just really help these brands and the hosts all kind of work together.
Yeah, right now we're live. You can onboard Most into your store. We don't have that Shopify app yet. It's coming. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, it will be. So do a quick search and see if we're there, but you could still onboard onto your site. What Most wants to be is we want to be the go-to, let's say, full suite social commerce platform. So everything that I was talking about before and features that we want to build out and help these brands really tap into their existing customer base to kind of remove friction and break down barriers on the purchasing process, we want Most to be that go-to brand with everything inside of it, all the tools you need to build that social commerce strategy. That's the North Star of Most. A lot of that will happen in 2022. We're really excited about what the roadmap looks like, and we're going to keep building until we get there.
Beautiful. Love it. So we are nearing the end of the show for today, and you've shared a lot. I feel fortunate that I have this kind of pre-release opportunity to kind of share out. You know, I deal with so many brands, and they always want to know what's the latest and greatest and new and innovative. And it's not for everyone, but at least that's why we're here today, just to discuss there could be opportunity. People should go over to most.io and have a look and see. But is there any kind of like final kind of takeaways that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Final takeaways. Yeah, I think that e-commerce is tough. It's challenging. There's a lot of competition. I think that, you know, don't be afraid to tap into these kind of new strategies, new ways of selling product. Look, I've worked with e-commerce brands. I've had e-commerce brands of my own. I know how easy it is to just get complacent with the usual organic Facebook ads and email marketing, and you just keep trying the same thing over and over again. If you want to kind of jumpstart your brand, I think social commerce is going to be a big, big part of the future of e-commerce. And I think, you know, to go alongside that, I mean, nothing to do with what we're doing at most, but I think content is going to be very important for brands as well. So, you know, keep those things in mind. And yeah, I hope we could all flourish together as a community, right?
Absolutely. So the URL is most, so M-O-A-S-T, most.io. You can go there. Shopify App Store, depending on when you're listening, will be likely there soonish. So most, you can check that out. I'll put these links in the show notes. And I think you also have some case studies, and a blog is now started too, which is interesting. So there's some good content that you're starting to get rocking in there.
Yeah, and your listeners could book a demo. I'll be the one giving the demo. You know, they could be quick, they could be short. If you have 5 minutes, if you have 20 minutes, I'll walk you through it. I'll show you how you can make most work for your brand, and also want to hear feedback because we're still developing. So as we go through it, if anyone has ideas for us on how we could continue to improve this product, I'd love to connect with them.
Absolutely. Iteration is key. So I know we did chat just before recording. I understand that you'd like to offer, I'm going to call it a listener only bonus, but some kind of promotional kick the tire, so to speak, get the demo, and then what sort of offer for those that maybe want to try out the platform?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to offer all of the listeners a special promotion for signing up to Most. Right now, we're offering a 60-day free trial, but for any listeners of the e-commerce Fastlane podcast, we're happy to extend it to 90 days. 90 days free trial, get onboarded. We're going to walk you through it every step of the way. And yeah, we look forward to working with your listeners.
What's interesting too is that I think the timing is right too. I mean, depending on where you are listening, but if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, here we are in January, mid to late January right now, but you know, there's lots of the warmer weather. And I think, you know, the whole situation in warmer weather and things happening, it's a good timing to get this story told, get this narrative out into the market, get people to see that the product's going to be continued to be iterated upon. I'm glad there's a roadmap of, you know, of things that I mean worked on. But as is right now, it's very functional. It's very clear that it's working. And so I highly recommend just at least check it out. So most.io, thank you for that 90-day offer. I think, you know, that really gives people the opportunity. Hey, for 3 months, let's try it. Let's see if we can find a couple hosts, maybe in a couple key markets where we don't have retail. And let's see, just, you know, you'll know if they're on social already, taking photos and at mentioning. They really are influencer type people potentially. So it sounds like you really are dabbling in lots of different areas, just finding these hosts, reaching out to them, and then from there building that relationship. And then from there, it's just like, you know, people can start booking live off the website. It's worth a test for 3 months to try it out. It's very clear that's working for quite a few others. So I just wanted to thanks for that offer. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for giving me exclusive to talking about this on a podcast about what you're up to. I know we've been chit-chatting kind of months prior when it was really early, but now it's ready for prime time with the app around the corner too. So this is great. And just thank you for sharing your knowledge, and thanks for building this really neat tool to help people.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. And keep doing what you're doing with the e-commerce Fastlane podcast. I love it. And you're doing a great service to everyone in this community. So awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh yeah, it's a labor of love. I love it too. My mantra is like life of learning. And like I've scrambled, I mean, every podcast, I scramble down so many notes. Yours is exactly the same. I got 2 pages full of notes. There's always something unique I get to pull out. And I'm just so blessed I have the opportunity to be able to meet founders and understand their stories and what they're building. And yours is very unique. So I appreciate that. And so thanks again for coming on the show.
I appreciate that as well. Thanks, Steve.
Today's episode was made possible by Mesa, the easiest way to integrate any Shopify app with your online store. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks and free up valuable time to focus on growing and scaling your business operations. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, Mesa has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any growing business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa today for free, absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial. So go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GETMESA.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms. all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.